So we got to the top of Yudal and Aleph. And the Gemara is continuing to darshan the Psukim in Megillah. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk, Navayasar Melech Est Habasan. Finally, after Melech, Achashverosh and Haman are negotiating what to do with Klal Yisrael, so Achashverosh takes off the ring, gives it over to Haman. So the Gemara comments, Amar Rabbi Abba Barkana, Gedolu Hasaras Tabas, Tabas Yoser Me'arba Mishmonim Nevim. That the removal of the ring by Achashverosh was greater, more powerful than that of the 48 Nevi'im, the 7 Nevi'os, that should establish the Israel, that prophesied for Klal Yisrael throughout the history. Because Shekulan Lohechzir Lemutav, all of them weren't able to, none of these Nevi'im were able to convince Klal Yisrael to do tshuva. V'ilu Hasar's Tabas Achashverosh Lemutav, but however, when Achashverosh removed his ring, that was enough to scare Klal Yisrael to do tshuva. Look at Rashi says. Rashi says, two lines from the top, Lemutav, Shegozer Alem Tainios Lechuva, that it caused them to be gozer fast days, and Kedichsiv Tzomu Bechu Mispeid Sach Veifer Yutzel Rabim. So this is how powerful the removal of the ring was from Achashverosh to really convince them to do tshuva, but all the prophecies didn't affect them too much. Gemara now goes to explain who are the 48 Nevi'im and the 7 Nevi'os that was described above. Gemara says, Tanar Ban Arbam Ushmon Nevi'im, all 48 male Nevi'im and 7 female Nevi'os, none of them added or removed any of the mitzvahs that are written in the Torah. Chutz mi'mikra Megillah, except for Mikra Megillah, is the only thing that they had added onto the mitzvah. That was the one thing. So look at Rashi towards the top. Rashi says, Chutz mi'mikra Megillah. Asks Rashi, Vim tomer nechanakah. Nechanakah was also added. That wasn't in the Torah. They did add something. Kfar Pasko Nevi'im, that already Nevu'ah had stopped. We're talking about the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im didn't do anything other than Esther. Yes, there were other things as well. After the times of the Nevi'im, there's Ner Chanukah, there are many other Gzeros and Isur Derban that were created. But in terms of the Nevu'ah, this was the only one that was added by the actual Nevi'im. Avabi Me Mordechai, Haya Chagai Zechariah Malachi. During the times of Mordechai, there were still Nevi'im, the last three Nevi'im, and they're the ones who added that one mitzvah. That was the only mitzvah that they had added. Where is my darish? What was the drush?
According,
yeah.
According to this Haggai, the Chagai Malachi were in Babel, in Paris, whatever. While
they were
Mordechai, or they were. It has to be because otherwise they would.
They were in Eretz Yisrael at the time, probably, right?
And they added it when they after they were allowed to go up with Ezra and Nehemiah, or what?
Don't know. I don't know. So
they
yeah.
heard what happened. And
possible, right? So the Gemara wants to know, my darsh, what was the drush they made that had convinced them that this was the only mitzvah that they were able to add on? So Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abin, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, they made a kal v'chomer. What was the kal v'chomer? Mami abdus l'cheiros arminan shira. Just like in Mitzrayim, they left from abdus to freedom, and they said, shira al hayam, says Rashi, mimis l'chayim lo kol shekein, from death to life, from Haman wanted to kill them, and they were saved. Is it not even more so obvious that they should say some type of shira? So ihachi halanami neva. So why say Megillah? They should say halal. Halal is like a real shira. Megillah is a nice story, but the real shira should be the praise of halal. Why not say halal? So the Gemara says lefish ein omim halal al neis shebechutz laaretz. Because the klal is we don't say a neis that occurs in this is a parallel Gemara that appears in Erchin, and so the Marsha explains, why don't we say a halal on a nase that happens in Chutzlarts? Because Marsha explains that any nase that happens in Chutzlarts is not through HaKadosh Baruch Hu itself, it's through Malachim, through agents of his. So that's not worthy of saying halal, but any nase that occurs in Eretz Yisrael is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. That's the difference. In Yaakov writes differently, he says the opposite shoe. He says, there are so many nisim that take place in Chutzlarts, we wouldn't be able to handle living in Chutzlarts, among all the goyim, had not been for the constant nisim that take place. So we can say a halal for every single nes. Eretz Yisrael, where things are more naturally, we're living, we're protected, nisim are more infrequent, therefore in Eretz Yisrael it is worthy of saying a halal. So Gemara says, well, if that's the truth, if that's klal, that you don't say a halal on a nes that happened in Chutzlarts, well, what about Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Neis Shebechutz La'aretz. That was the Neis Shebechutz La'aretz, obviously. It occurred in Egypt and all the Makos and Kiryas Yamzuf. Heichem Yinan Shir. How are we able to say Shira in a Neis that happened in Chutz La'aretz according to this klal? Kidatani, the Brice explains, Ad Shel Nichnasu Li Yisrael La'aretz La'aretz, until before Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, Huchsharu Kol Aratzos Lomar Shira. All the lands, even Chutz La'aretz, were able to be, Nisim were able to be said about them, so therefore Mitzrayim happened before entering Eretz Yisrael. However, once they entered Eretz Yisrael, all the other lands except for Eretz Yisrael were not worthy of saying Hallel. Only in Eretz Yisrael were you able to say Hallel on Nes. So that's the change. Again, Mitzrayim took place prior to entering Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, you're able to say Hallel on that. The Gemara says now, Rav Nachman Amar Kriyasa Zu Halila. No, what do you mean? We do say Hallel. You know what the Hallel we say is? It's a different type of Hallel, different words. It's the Megillas Esther. The Megillah that we read, that itself is a Hallel. So Namiri writes here, he says, if that's the case, a person, let's say, does not have access to Megillah. But let's say on Shabbos, where you don't read the Megillah, perhaps there's an idea to say Hallel instead. The ideal form of Hallel on Mikra Megillah, on Purim, is Mikra Megillah is the best way. But when you're not able to, so Hallel, the Psukim Hallel and Tehillim should be a great substitute. That's what the Miri writes. According to the first man, however, that no, it's not right to say Hallel in Chutzlarts, so it's inappropriate to say Hallel even in the absence of Megillah. So that would be the Nafkamina. The Maisa, we don't paskin that way. On Shabbos, we don't say Hallel if Purim falls out on Shabbos. And if a person does not have a Megillah, we don't say Hallel. Person wants to, they can be machber and say Hallel without saying the bracha. There's no harm in saying psukim, but that would be an interesting afkamina according to the Meiri. So the Gemara says, Rava Amar Bishlama Hasam Halu Avdi Hashem Velo Avdi Paro. So I understand why one would say Hallel by Mitzias Mitzrayim, because when we say Halu Avdi Hashem, we're the servant of Hashem and we're not the servant of Achashverosh anymore. So it's of Paro rather. So therefore, it's appropriate to say Halu As Hashem to Halu Avdi Hashem. But how are we able to say Hallel, according to the second Man Damer, how would one be able to say Hallel when we are still Akati Avdi Achashverosh, we're still under the Abdus of Achashverosh, not him himself, but we were never completely redeemed. Rashi explains, you see Rashi, it's one-liner there, Akati Avdi Achashverosh Anan, lo nigalu el minamisa, we were only redeemed from death, but we're still in this spiritual servitude, and subject to all that ruchnius, of the Avdus of Ruchnius. So Gemara explains, Bein the Rava, Bein the Rav Nachman, Kasha. It's a question according to both them. Why is it a question according to both of them?
Sharei Midibrehem, Ode Sharawi Hayalomar Halil Imnes Purim Afal Pishe Hirava Kutlaret. Because it's not connected to both of them, all that the reason has nothing to do with the Eretz Yisrael. Mashen Amrimoto, who rak Mishum Shekriat Zuhalila, or Mishum Sheakati Abdi Achashverosham.
So according to both these, that again, Rava said that we can't say Halal because we're still Abdi Achashverosh. And Rav Nachman said because Halal is in place of Megillah. So the question according to them is, Gemara is about to say the question now. But Vahatan, how could they say something against the Braisa? Doesn't the Braisa say that Vahatanya Mishinichsu la'arts lahuchshar kol arzos lomar shira? So
So he's saying,
once you enter Eretz Yisrael, you're not able to say shira anymore. Even though, so that's a different reason as to why you don't say shira, different than what they said. How could they argue it? The Gemara says, Kevin Shigalu. So once Eretz Yisrael, once Klal Yisrael was exiled, that cloud doesn't apply anymore. Therefore, all lands were hochshar to recite Hallel. So they had to think of different reasons why we don't say Hallel. Okay. So Gemara now asks, Vesuleka. So we said there were 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'os. There were no more than that. There were only 55 in history. Haksiv, doesn't the Pasuk say? Vahi ish echad min haramasim, ramasayim, tzofim. And there's one man who came from a place called Tzofim. So what does Tzofim mean? Echad mimasayim Tzofim. He was one of 200 Tzofim. Tzofim is a person who could see, who has visions, a Navi. So one of 200. So that already, four times the amount that we listed above. He's one of 200 Nevi'im. Shenisnabu lehem liYisrael. So we see there are certainly a lot more. So Gemara explains, you're right. Mihava tuvahava. There were many, many more Nevi'im than the 55 that we mentioned above. Kidatanya, Harbi Nevi'im, Amdul Hem Yisrael, many Nevi'im stood for Klal Yisrael throughout the generations. Keflaim Kiyotim Mitzrayim, double the amount of people left Mitzrayim. 600,000 people left, double will be 1.2 million Nevi'im throughout the generations. That's quite a lot of Nevi'im. So why do we only count 55? Ella, Nevu'ah Shu Tzrachu L'Doros, Nichtavam. only the prophecies that were needed for generations was recorded. But if it wasn't needed for the dos, it wasn't recorded. So yes, there's many more prophecies that occurred that may have happened already, or it wasn't needed l'doros, but those were not recorded. That's what he meant. There were 55 that were listed in Tanakh. We didn't list all 1.2 million Nevi'im. So the Gemara gives other explanations as to what this word, what this pasuk means. Adam haba mishtei ramos. Who is it referred to? So this is referring to Elkanah. So does Rashi explain this? Rashi does not. But Rashi does say, Rashi, if you want to know all the different Nevi'im, Rashi lists them.
Yeah, I have
them. Yeah. So you have Rashi in there. Okay, so it's all listed if you want to see all 55 of them. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar, what does the pasuk mean? Adam haba mishtei ramos. There's a person who came from two valleys that looked, two hills that looked at each other, two mountain tops close to each other. So apparently Elkanah was, he lived on the top of one of these mountains that were next to each other. That's what the pasuk means, Echem Nehra Masayim Tofim. He came from one of the high mountains that were looking at another mountain. Rabbi Chanan Amar Adam Haba Mibnei Adam Shomdim Biruma Shalom. Now he was born from a person who stood at the top of the world. So Manin, who was a person who stood Biruma Shalom, who's sitting at the top of the world? Bnei Karach, the children of Karach. What are the children of Karach being Biruma Shalom? Gemara says, the pasuk says in Karach, Uvnei Karach Lomesu. The Bnei Karach Lomesu, they were so involved in Karach. Why didn't they die? Tanya Mishum, Rabbeinu, in saying the name of Rabbeinu, Rabbi, Rab, rather, Makom Nispatzel Hem Begenim. There was a place that was established for them in Gehenim. Rashi says Nispatzel Hem is Lashon Gavoa, Kimo Betsuros Bishamayim. There was a high little plank, I guess, that was in Gehenim for them. V'amdu Alav, and they stood on this plank, and they were protected from the Gehenim. So when the pit, the ground opened up, the Korach and Adasso fell below. There's a little platform where Bnei Korach kind of stopped on this ledge and they held safe there. And that's what it refers to, because in the end of the day, I think Rashi writes to Al-Tor, they did Shuva. So that's what it means. He came from the people of Beruma Shel Olam, that Ramasan, they stayed, they were protected on the top, not the world, but the top of Gehenim, where they stayed and ultimately they lived, and ultimately Elkanah was a product of them. So the Gemara wants to know now, this is a great trivia question, Seven Nevi'os Manin. Who are the seven Nevi'os? If anybody knows the seven Nevi'os, I like to, once in a while, I test my kids. My kids are young, but they know a few of them. So here are the seven Nevi'os as we go through them. So Gemara says, Sarah, Miriam, Devorah, Hannah, Avigal, Chulda, Esther. These seven. Okay, Sarah, Miriam are obvious ones, and Esther's an obvious one. Devorah, most people know. Hannah, Avigal, Chulda, most people don't know who Chulda is, but...
Chulda lives with Ishaya.
Right, so we're going to go through what I'm saying, but most people don't know Chulda. Usually people get like five of them, four or five of them.
Right.
Chana people kind of think of, they're not really sure that she's a Navi, is she Davin? We know the famous story of Chana and Shmuel, not quite sure. Avigail, it's very, people don't know Avigail is a Navi, but they know who she is. Chulda, most people don't even know the name Chulda. So these are the seven.
This Avigail is the one that with David,
yes.
She told David not to kill her husband.
Right? Exactly.
And then help him out with food.
Right. So so these are the seven Navios. So Gemara is going to go one by one, proving how we know that they were a Nevi'ah. So Gemara says, first one is Sarah. How do we know that Sarah was a Nevi'ah? Dechsiv avi malka v'avi yascha. So this pasuk appears in the end of Noach, I believe, right before, I think it's the end of, exactly, the end of Noach, I think. So it says that she was avi yascha, was avi yascha mean. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, yascha, Zu Sarah. It was Sarah, so why do we call her Yascha? Lama Nikrashma Yascha. She sachsa Ruach HaKodesh. She was covered with Ruach HaKodesh. Shenemar Kol Ish Kalashia Tamar Lecha Sarah Shema Bikolah. This, that pasuk is a reference to when Avram and Sarah are having a little bit of an argument, what to do with Hagar. Sarah said, kick her out. Avram said, why are we going to kick her out? So anything, Karsh Baruch Hu turns to Avram and says, listen to whatever she tells you, listen to her. Rashi comments, we see from there that, on the Al Torah that is, that Sarah was a greater Nevi'ah than Avram Avinu. So listen to what your wife Sarah says. So, interesting to note, I'm not really sure the difference between Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah, they're different levels, but we're trying to prove that she's a Navi. The Gemara says we know she has Ruach HaKodesh, so somehow Ruach HaKodesh is a certain, it's a level of Nevuah. I don't know the different grades, of course. Now, Davar Acher, alternatively, the word Yascha might tell us something different, that Yascha Shehakol Sochem Yofea, everybody look at her beauty. And no reference at all to her powers of prophecy. That's how we know that Sarah was a Neviah. Miriam dechsev vatikach Miriam haNeviah achos Aaron. So they took Miriam the Neviah, the sister of Aaron. The achos Moshe, but not the achos Moshe. Why was she referred to the sister of Aaron, but not the sister of Moshe? So Amar of Nachman, Amar of Yisrav, shai samisnaba kishi achos Aaron. She made a nevuah when she was the sister of Aaron before she became the sister of Moshe. Meaning before Moshe was born, she already had nevuah. How? Well, meres asida imi shetele ben. In the future, my mother is going to give birth to the Ben Shoshias Israel, the child that's going to save Klai Yisrael from Eretz Mitzrayim, who b'shah shenolad nismalei kol habayis kula ora, and that when she was born, the whole house was filled with light. And as Adam told us the other day, that that was at nighttime. That was, she was born at nighttime, that's why it filled with aura. And as opposed to Moshe's death was during the daytime, that's part of the miscalculation. So this happened at nighttime, that he was born and light filled the room. So the father, Amram, really noticed that something special, she was right, so he gave her a kiss on her forehead. Your nevuah had been fulfilled. But once they realized they had to throw him into the river, into the teva, he came and gave a little slap on the head, say, what happened to your nevuah? That's what the pasuk means. That she stood from afar. She's watching the Moshe go down the river. Why did she stand? What was she looking for? Ladas, to know what was going to be the end of her prophecy, whether it's going to come true or not. And this Gemara also appears more elaborated in the Gemaras in Sota. We see from here either way that she was a Navi. The Mefarshim asks, there's a pasuk that says Mefurish that Miriam is a Navi. Says Vatikach Miriam Hanaviya. So why is that? Why did the Gemara go for this one, which you have to make a drasha that since she's the sister of Aaron? Why? So I don't know what they say, but they do ask the question.
Yeah, the answer could be that here she was with Navi on Moshe, which would have effect on the whole of the Israel. Maybe because here it says that Rivka and Rachel are also Navias, but they were Navias for themselves, not for any consequence.
So this is because we said before there are more than 1.2 million, so we only considered the Nevi'im that were relevant
right,
to the Doros.
In this case, she saved Moshe and she
maybe. Oh, interesting. Okay. So that's how we proved the second one, that Miriam was a Nevi'ah. Now, what about Devorah? How do we know Devorah, who was a Shofetes, one of the Shoftim, how do we know that she was a Nevi'ah? So the Pasuk says, Dechsiv Devorah Isha Nevi'ah, Eshas Lapidos. So she was a Nevi'ah. And Eshel Lapidos, what does Eshel Lapidos mean? I think she's a wife of Lapidos. So the Gemara explains that that Shehaisa Osap Silos LaMikdash, she would make the wicks for the Beis HaMikdash that were used on the menorah. That's what her job was. That's what Eshel Lapidos meant. Lapidos is wicks. So not wicks, but it's Lashem Psil. So, and the Gemara says further regarding the Devorah, Vihi Yosheves Tachas Tomar. So she sat below the tomb below the palm tree. Ma'isha tachas tomar. Why dafka below a palm tree? Some Rabbi Shimon ben Avshalom nishum yichud because of yichud issues. So when people come to get judged or seek her advice or prophecy, there wouldn't be any issues of yichud. So look at Rashi. Rashi says mishum yichud shehu gavo is very high. Ve'in lo tzel, no shade. Ve'in adam yachol yitzached sham ima kemo bebayis. It wasn't closed off. So therefore it was no problem of yichud. So I'm not quite sure why she sat below the date tree. If there was no palm tree, if there was no shade, what was the importance of sitting on the any tree? Just sit wide open in the field. I don't know. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Davar Acher." Alternatively, my ma tamar zeh ein le ela lev echad af Yisrael shebeosu ador lo haya lehem ela lev echad laavin shebeshmaim. So she's trying to prove and get a message across that the tamar had the date to only have one heart, one center. I guess one pit. So too, Klai Yisrael explains that way. Rashi explains, has to have Lev Echad. Saraf Yeshlo, Kamo Ilan. It has, the sap. It has, like any other tree. Aval Ein Lo Bon Anafav Ela Begazo Al Pnei Kol Gaval. It doesn't have in the branches, it only has in the bark, in the trunk. So I guess it only has one source. The sap comes from one source. So too, Klai Yisrael has one source, one Lev. That's how I proved the third Nevi'ah, Devorah. Chana, how do we know Chana was a Nevi'ah? The pasuk tells us, "Vatispalel Chana v'tomer alat libi b'Hashem rama karni ba." So Chana prayed and said to Hashem, "My heart is so happy with Hashem. My karen, my horn is exalted with Hashem." So rama karni v'lo rama paki. Why does it say my horn is exalted, but doesn't say my flask is exalted? Why would you say rama paki though? So Rashi says, Rashi explains, Rama, Karni Vla Rama Pachi, Zuhi Nivuasa. This was a prophecy. She Nisabes Al Shaul. She was making a prophecy about Shaul. V'yehu Shel V'yehu. Shel Timashech Malchusan B'mshich As David Ushlomo. That it would, their kingdom would not last with the appointing and anointing of David and Shlomo. K'siv Karen Hashem U'mshich As Shaul V'yehu V'yehu K'siv. So it says Karen, by David and Shaul it says Karen, which is going to be more lasting, and by Shaul and Yehu it says Pach only. So she is prophesizing that the appointing of the Karen, of Karen David and Shlomo, that was going to last more so than the Pach, the oil that was used, the flask that was used to anoint Shaul and Yehu. So David and Shlomo, Gemara continues, this is all based on the Gemara, David and Shlomo, Shenimshch B'Karen, Nimshch Malchusan, they were appointed with this Karen, this horn, which held the oil, so their Malchus was everlasting. Shaul V'Yehu, Shenimshch B'Pach, Lo Nimshcha Malchusam. That was the prophecy of Chana. That's what she was referring to. The Gemara continues to discuss the famous tefillah of Chana. Ein kadosh kashem ki ein biltecha. There's no Hashem. There's no one holy as Hashem and no one other than you. So Amar Rav Yehuda bar Menashe, what does this mean? Al tikrei biltecha elo livalosecha. Don't read it as biltecha as no one beside you, but read it as livalosecha, which means no one survives you. Man is obviously very, very, very different than Kadosh Baruch Hu. Basar v'dam ma'isa yadav mivalan oso. So when man creates something, his work, his ma'isa yadav, outlived man himself. Aval Kadosh Baruch Hu mivalan ma'isa yadav, but Kadosh Baruch Hu outlives his own creation, namely he outlives man. That was a part of the praise that Chana was saying to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Further, Chana writes, or says, v'ein tzur kelokinu, there's no rock like Hashem. Ain tsire kilokinu shri. There's no artist like Hashem. Why? Adam tsar tsura al gabi kos. A person writes some graffiti, makes a nice picture, a painting on the wall. Ve'ini yachal lahatil baruch neshama. He can't put any power, any spirit into this picture. Krivayim v'ni mayayim. He can't put any innards, anything, intestines, nothing. Aba kadosh baruch hu tsar tsura b'soch tsura. Kadosh baruch hu create an image within an image. You know, in other words, a fetus inside a mother. And could fill it with spirit and breath and intestines, everything like that. That was part of the tefillah. But what we see from all this, though, is that Chana was she was a neviah from the earlier pasuk we brought. Now, Abigail, how do we know that Abigail was a neviah? Gemara says Tichsiv. The pasuk tells us, "Vayahi rocheves al hachamer, v'yoredes b'sei sahar," and she was traveling on the donkey, and she came down by the secret areas of the mountain. So b'sei sahar, what do you mean b'sei sahar? Minahar mi barley. She came down from the mountain. What do you mean b'sei sahar? Very strange language. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Bar Shmuel al iske dam haba min hasasarim. She was busy paskining shilas of nida shilas not la dam hisrael, and they would show her the dam that came from the min hasasarim, the secret parts, the covered up areas of the body. She would take the dam and she would show it to David. So he says to her, should one see blood at night time? So she says to David Melech, but is one allowed to judge Dina Fashas at night time? So then, this is going back to the story of her husband Navel. So how is David Melech able to give the death penalty to her husband of Navel at the night time? So he says back to Abigail, Morbi Malchus, there's a special lacha that he was Morbi Malchus. Comes to Morbi Malchus, so you don't need to judge. The Melch is able to do whatever he wants. The Melch could kill anybody he wants, whenever he wants, if he thinks it's important, especially for Morbi Malchus. But that's why I wasn't subject to the lachas of normal Dina Nefashos. So Amrullah, Adayin Shal Kaim, Liyatza Tabacha Be'olam. He says, wait a second, David, you're not the king yet. Shal is still alive. You don't have the authority of Malchus. He's no Dina Morbi Malchus yet. So Amrullah, so he says back to her, He responds, Baruch Tamechu Vrucha At, Asher Kisina Hayom Azem Mibod Bedamim. He said, bless your reasoning is very sensible, and you prevent me from killing someone on this day that I shouldn't have killed yet. You're right, I don't have the authority as of yet. Okay, so then the Gemara says, Damim Tarti Mashma. So, what do you mean Damim, two bloods? When David thanks her for preventing him from killing people, why is it Damim? It should say Dam, from not killing one person. The Gemara explained, "Ela melamed shegilsa es shoka v'halach la'ora gimel parsals." That apparently she had revealed her leg to him, and he traveled for three parsals, and with a strong desire for her. Amalah hishmani li. So he says to her, listen to me. Amlo, she says to him, lo tiazos l'chalafuka. So she answered back to him, this should not be a stumbling block for you. So very unclear what exactly is going on. So either way, the dhamma means that she had enticed him and then prevented him from violating any avera. So it was two different things that he was saved from. One from killing Nava and two from being with Avigail. So those are the two dhamma that the pasuk refers to. I see it, Rashi says, Rashi b'damim, top line, dam nida, she was in nida at the time, and shvichas damim, and the killing of blood. Those two different things, he had been prevented from performing those two averos that time. Okay, so now the Gemara says, how do we know that she's a Navi? So Gemara says, zos mechlal d'ika acharisa. So this implies that there's another time that she says, don't have a stumbling block with this. What means zos? So it sounds like there's another opportunity also that he could have stumbled upon. So Gemara says, what is that? So what's this other reference that she's making to? Ma'is is Bat Sheva u'maskana hachi havi. And this is a reference to the episode of Bat Sheva, which would ultimately happen after this point. And in fact, this is what had happened. So she had prophesied for this another event happening, namely that with David and Bat Sheva. Okay, so Gemara now says... Gemara says further now, I saw nefesh adonit tsura b'tsura chayim. So continuing along,
he ended up being his wife.
Yeah, eventually,
died,
exactly.
And,
eventually, he married her. Yeah.
Yeah, he married.
So then the pasuk continues to say, along with the story of David and Avigail, I saw nefesh adonit tsura b'tsura chayim. The nefesh of my master is bound in life. So what does this mean? So Kiava Miftere Minai Amrala, when Avigail had left from David HaMelech, she had said to him, V'heitiv Hashem l'adoniv zechart es amasecha, so Hashem shall deal well with my master David HaMelech, and you should remember me, remember amasecha. So Amr of Nachman, Hainu Dam Inchi, this is what people would say, Itissa Bahadei Shusa Pilcha. While a woman talks, she spins fibers to make yarn. Okay, so I'm not really sure what that means. So... Even so, apparently, Rashi says here that Bahadi Shusa Pilcha, you see that Rashi, it's around 6 and 8 lines down, he says, Im Sha'isha Midaberis, when a woman's speaking, he tova, she spins, Kalomar, Im Shahi Midaberis Imo Al Baila, even though she's talking about her husband directly with David, she still mentions herself, she's still trying to spin the wheel, if you will, she's trying to help her own cause out, don't forget me, my husband dies, please, don't forget me and marry me. So that's what she's trying to lay the groundwork for. And ikadami, others say, which means, a goose stoops as it goes, but its eyes peer afar. So I guess as it goes, it looks down, it looks as if it's not paying attention to what's going around it, but its eyes do look far away as it goes forward. So, you keep one eye looking forward, but one eye to other options that are out there. That's what she was basically doing. She was, saying, don't forget me. So now, how do we know that Chulda was another? Gemara says, "Dechsev." The pasuk tells us, "Vayelach Chilkiyahu haKohen vaAchikam vaAchbor." These individuals went. Where do they go? The Gemara goes on to say they went to Chulda haNeviyah. So it's a mefurish pasuk. The Chulda was a Neviyah. The Gemara doesn't quote that part of the pasuk, but that's the Vegomer in the Gemara. So Malkum dekai Rimiya Heichem v'Sabeihi. So the Gemara asks, so now that we've proven from the pasuk. Again, I was once told that whenever the pasuk says, whenever the Gemara quotes a pasuk and says v'gomer, it's the v'gomer that's the most important part of the pasuk. So it's very strange. Why doesn't the Gemara quote the part where it says chul is a neviya? Because the v'gomer tells me, look up the pasuk, you'll find out the answer. You look at the pasuk, so she's a neviya. So the Gemara asks, u'makom dekai yirmiyah heichem is not the ihi. So I don't understand that. How is it possible that in the time of Yirmiyah, one of the greatest neviyim we had of time, that chul was able to prophesize as well? Any question a person should have should really have been taken to Yirmiyah. So Amri Bey Rav, Mishmei de Rav, they said in the base message Rav, Chulda Krovas Yirmiyah Haisav Lahava Makbid Aleh. Apparently they're relatives, and Yirmiyah was Makbid on her, giving her own prophecy as well.
We're both family of Rechav.
Uh-huh. Okay. So Vyoshiyah. Gufe Heche Shavak Yirmiyah Mishad Legabe, but Yoshi himself, so how could he himself have not gone to Yirmiyah and sent over a question to Chulda? Inechanami Yirmiyah didn't mind, but you would imagine the king would go to Yirmiyah, the top Navi. Amir Devei Rabbi Shela, Yivnesha Nosh and Rachmanis, and he was looking for Rachmanis, and women are obviously more Rachmanis than that of men, so therefore he went to her. Which itself is pretty interesting. That, what do you mean? So she's going to alter the nevuah. She has the ability to change what it's going to be. So the bottom here explains something. So the idea of the Marsha explains that when a prophecy comes through, so the Navi still has the ability to daven, to change a prophecy, to alter the prophecy. So if a man were to give the prophecy like Yirmiyah, he would not have been as merciful to daven so hard. But Chulda, after hearing the prophecy and giving over to Yoshi HaMelech, so she would have davened hard to turn over the prophecy. But the actual nevuah, that they have no control over. They only have control over the davening afterwards. So then Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Yirmiyah lo haiva hasam. So Rabbi Yochanan claimed, no, Yirmiyah wasn't there. He was busy. He went off to go return the 10 tribes. So he wasn't accessible. Since he wasn't accessible, they had to go to the secondary, the second level Navi Chulda. How do we know that Yirmiyah actually had brought back the Aser Shvatim? The Chassid Pasuk tells us, because the seller should not return the sale. What does that mean? Efshar Yovel batel v'Navi misabe alav shi batel. Is it possible that Yovel is going to come and Yovel no longer existed, it was batel, and Yechezkel would give prophecy that it was will be suspended? It's a very strange thing. Again, Yovel didn't exist, and Yechezkel is being misnabe. Oh, it's going to no longer exist. It already doesn't exist during the times of Yechezkel. Why are you saying it's not going to exist? So what does that mean? So Yovel depends on Klai Yisrael being in Eretz Yisrael. If Klai Yisrael is not in Eretz Yisrael, there's no Yovel anymore. So if Yovel didn't exist because the Aser HaShvatim had been exiled, so what Yechezkel talking about is going to be batel. It doesn't exist nowadays. The point was, there's going to be a time period where Klai Yisrael is going to return back to Eretz Yisrael, Yovel is going to be reinstated, and then again it's going to be removed after another exile of Klai Yisrael. So that's what it refers to. We can read this inside Rashi. Rashi says, Efshe Yovel batel, around halfway down the Rashi's, he says, "Mishigalu asar sashvatim." When the 10 tribes were exiled, "Bimei Chizkia shenemar lechol yeshver." Bizman shekol yeshver. The pasuk says, "Bizman shekol yeshver aleh." When all the people are inhabiting the land, "Lo bizman shegalu miktasam nimsa shemishigalu shevet Reuven mikad v'chatzis shevet Menashe kfar batlu ayivolus." When they were exiled, Yovel no longer existed. V'yecheskel haya mesnabe la'achas mani yishivatel. And he was making a prophecy that it's going to be batel again. So that tells us. That next Rashi tells us, "Melamed sheYirmiyah hechziran." Yirmiyah brought them back, but also Shana. That very year, shenimsa sefer vishnas shmona esrei liYoshia, the 18th year of Yoshia's ruling. Uch sheshalach al divrei hasefer etzel Chulda loyasham Yirmiyah. When he wanted to ask the question from the Neviah Chulda, Yirmiyah wasn't available. Bechazal limnos as Yovel. Then they started counting Yovel again. Lo hispikan limnos ela shmitos ad shechar beis hamikdash. It's a bias, and they counted until the beis hamikdash was ultimately destroyed. Okay, the Gemara now continues the discussion regarding Yoshia. Gemara says, "Yoshia ben Amon Melech Alehen," and the Yoshia had been the king over them. "Dechsiv Ayomer Ma Hatzion Halaz." So, what marker is that I see? Hatzion is a laz. Ashani Roe. I see this marker. "V'yomer Alav." They said to Yoshia, "Anshe Ha'ir." The Anshe said to him, "Hakever Ish Helokim." This is the kvura of the godly man. Asher Bam Yehuda, who came from Yehuda. That he read for us certain things that we should do on the Mizbech of Beis El. What was Yoshia doing in the Mizbech that appeared in Beis El? Melamed Yoshia Melchalem tells us that he was ruler over, he was king over this area of Beis El. What?
It was in Malchut Israel.
And he was only of Yehuda.
Right.
Whose kever was this, though, does it say?
Which one?
This Tzion, he said this was a kever of the Beis Elokim, of a Ish Elokim. Okay, I'm not sure this was. Okay. So then the Gemara says, Rav Nachman Amar Mehacha, he brings another proof that how do we know that that Yoshia had ruled over all the Asar Sashratim?
I'm sorry. Because Yerovam put the two eagles, you know, those eagles that have at the entrance. Yotsham ra kever, v'lishalto amru lo anshe ha'ish, shezehu kever shel ish ha'elokim, sheit navi al ma sheyase Yoshia al ha'mizbeach bebet el. But it doesn't say who it
is. Okay. So then the Gemara says, Rav Nachman Amar Mehach, Rav Nachman brings a proof that Yoshia had been ruler over all the tribes of Israel when they returned. Gam Yehuda Shas Katsir Lach, and also Yehuda, there is a time of harvesting B'shuvi Shvus Ami for you when I return the captivity of my people. So it sounds like this is a talking to Yoshia that he's going to be in charge of the Asar Shvatim when they return back.
I think I heard that according to this, that some shot says he only brought a few people from each Shevet just to.
Oh yeah.
Shevet. I don't remember where I heard it. Uh-huh. It's not that everybody all came back. Is that he was able to
representatives of each tribe.
Yeah, so that they should still be in Eretz Yisrael. Uh-huh. All Shevet. I don't know where I.
Likely to be true.
Which would make sense because Ashur never came back. I mean, right. That's the bottom line.
Well, there's a discussion, the Gemara elsewhere, I don't remember, it's on Hedgen or Erchen, maybe both, that not everybody agrees that they were returned.
No, that's right, not. Right. Nobody agrees that they were returned. Yes, according to the Mandiamar, who says that they were returned, supposedly only returned, not just a few, not.
And then finally, the Gemara says there's a seventh Nevi. We have to find the proof. How do we know that Esther was in the Nevi? The Gemara tells us because Tichsiv in the Megillah, Vahiba Yom Ashlishi Vatilbash Esther Malchus. And it was on the third day that Esther had worn her royal clothing. Big day Malchus, Mibarle. I should say Big day Malchus. What does it mean that she wore Malchus? How do you wear royalty? You wear clothing of royalty. So Ella Shalav Shavuach HaKodesh. She wore Ruach HaKodesh. Ksiv Hacha Vatilbash. It says here Ktilbash Vaksiv. Hasim is written over there, Ruach Lovsha es Amasai. The pasuk over there is a pasuk in Divrei Yamim, refers to a Ruach that had been on. Who's the pasuk referring to? What's the whole pasuk here? Let's see. It doesn't quote the whole pasuk here. Okay, either way, the pasuk in Divrei Yamim apparently is talking about wearing a Ruach Lovsha, so wearing Ruach HaKodesh, so too Esther wore Ruach HaKodesh. So again, here it says that while the other Nevi'im said they were actually Nevi'im, by Esther says Ruach HaKodesh, and by Sarah also says Ruach HaKodesh. So I'm not sure, again, there are different levels of whether Ruach HaKodesh, what level of Nevi'ah there is. So Amar of Nachman now, Lo Ya'a Yerusa L'Nashe. So Yerusa, the article defines as prominence, is not really becoming on a woman. Tarti Nashi Hirun, Havyan, Visanin Shemayu. There are two women who are very prominent, and the meanings of their very names are very repulsive. Chad Shema Zibursa, one was named a Zibursa, which means a bee. The Chad Shema Karkusha, one was called a weasel. So Rashi tells us who was the bee. Rashi is Devorah, Devorah is a bee. So Zibursa is Aramaic for a bee. And Karkusha, Chulda, Chulda is a weasel. So these are two women who became prominent individuals, but they their names were very repulsive. So Gemara says, Ziburta Dixibba Atishlach. Article of Barak. Regarding Devorah, it says, and she sent and called a Barak. Vilo I lo azla gabe, but she did not go to him. Okay, so she had summoned Barak to him, to her. Karkushta ksibbe amuli, she said to tell the man. Vilo amra imu lamech, but she didn't say tell the king. So they say they disrespected the great leaders of those times. So what's the message here? And Marsha explains that even though they reached great heights, they didn't really they acted with not such great humility by not showing the proper respect to the kings Barak and to the kings of the time of Chulda. So we see that's already within the names. The names themselves show something abhorrent about them. One was called a weasel. One was called a bee. Okay, so Gemara says now, by the way, this is, I think, an important source of whether women should have important roles in Yiddishkeit, whether it be rabbis, whether it be presidents of shuls, whatever it might be. This is a Gemara which seems to indicate one should not, because even these great individuals who were Nevi'im, Nevi'os rather, they themselves had stumbled upon the positions that they were in, they did towards others. So Gemara says, Amar of Nachman, Chulda mibnei b'nev shel Yoshua ha'yisa. Chulda is a great-great grandchild of Yeshua. Ksiv Hacha ben Charchas is written by Chulda. It says she was a daughter of the son of Charchas. Ksiv Hasman is written there. B'simnas Charis regarding Yeshua, it says Charis. So Lashon Charis and Charchas are pretty similar. They want to draw Gzer Shava here. So Gemara says Esiv asks the following question: Rav Ina Sabal Rav Nachman, Shmona Nevim Vehem Kwanim Yatsum Rachav Hazona. So there were eight Nevi'im, and they came from, and they were Kohanim, who all came from Rachav. Ve'iluhain, and these were the Nevi'im, Neriah, Baruch, Sariah, Machseyeh, Yirmiah, Chilkiah, Hanamel, Bishalom. Yehuda, Omer, Af, Chulda, and even Chunash, Rachav Hazona, Ha'isa, so she was, Chulda was also an offspring of Rachav. So Ksiv Hacha Kain Tikva, it's written by Chulda Kain Tikva. Ksiv Hasam as Tikva Schud Hashani, says Tikva, the string of hope that it was written by Rachav. So we see that she came from Rachav, she didn't come from Yehoshua. So it's a Sira, the Gemara explained that. Sorry, I lost place for a second. Amalei Eina Saba. So what's Eba Saba mean? Ramalei Pasya Uchma. Say Sab is a person's name. Then some say it was a black vessel. Black vessel refers apparently to Rav Nachman. Does Rashi explain why that is? No, I'm not sure why he's called a black vessel.
He was a blacksmith. Wasn't he a blacksmith?
Was he, yeah?
Zeu kinu de tamir hachamim amole arrof shkidatam v'amal v'amalim batorah.
So what's the answer here? Okay, so what's his response here? So he says, Minei u'minach testayim, the Shemaitza, by combining our statements, we're able to come to an answer. Meaning, I said that it came from Chulda came from Yeshua, and you're telling me that she came from Rachav. Why is this Sira? It's very possible. The Igairei v'nasa Yeshua, Rachav converted and she married Yeshua, and great. So asks, look at Tosas in the bottom there. The Igairei, Tosas asks, the Igairei v'nasa Yeshua. She had converted and married Yeshua. Kasha heyach nesva. How could you marry her? Ha'aminim perka ariel. Even if they convert, you're not allowed to marry any of the seven nations. There's a requirement to wipe out the seven nations living in Eretz Yisrael. Even if they convert, you can't marry them. So it says, Tosfos, she must not have been from the seven nations. She came from elsewhere, and I guess moved to Yericho at some point later on. El Mishar Amim, she came from another nation. She came to live in Yericho. That's according to one answer. She was not from the seven Amim. This Isser did not apply. V'yesh mefarshim, others explain, Shirat Lomar Shlo Huzaru Alav Tlo Tishatin Al Achash Nichus L'Eretz, that the Isser of marrying other Goyim, even if they converted to so. V'zeh Eino, so he doesn't like this answer. The Amrinim of the Medrash tells us, the Nesinim, the Bo L'Isgayr, B'mei Moshe, during the times of Moshe, the Nesinim came to convert, and come up B'mei Yeshua, just like during Yeshua's times, also happened during Moshe's times. V'afa Pikein Lahutru Lavobakal, even though it was before, during the times of Moshe, even though it was before they entered Eretz Yisrael, this was not permitted. El Hayuchot Ve'etzim V'Shavim Mayim. So since they tricked Moshe to be converted, Moshe felt he couldn't go back on the deal they made, so they had to be the wood choppers and the water drawers. Alma the Kodim She'avru Esayardim Nichsel Aretz Huzar Alem. So we see from here there's an Isser Chasis even prior to entering Eretz Yisrael. So these are two answers that are presented by Tosfos. He doesn't like the second answer though. So the Gemara now says, should we go into the next staff a little bit? I think it just stops on the bottom here. So the Gemara says, Mi Havile Zara Yeshua. Did Yeshua have any children? Haksiv Nun Beno Yeshua Beno. So Nun Beno Yeshua Beno. The Gemara in Yevamah says this as well. Rashi explains Nun Beno Yeshua Beno as Shevet Ephraim Miyachis Hakasiv Ad Yeshua Yeshua Lamata Layachzish. So it's Miyachis when it comes to Shevet Ephraim, it goes from Ephraim all the way down to Yeshua, but stops at Yeshua. Yeshua ended it. Yeshua was a son, and that was it. He was the final son. So it sounds like he was the final son. There are no other sons. And to the Gemara, Benilo Havu Le Bansan Havalo. He didn't have any sons, but he did have daughters. So Yeshua married Rachav. They had a daughter, and eventually had Chulda and Yirmiah, I think, right? Chulda and Yirmiah were offspring from Yeshua and Rachav. Okay, so I guess we will stop here.